for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Yes, everyone, welcome to another edition of The Warm Down today. Delighted to be joined by Quinton Fortune. How are you doing, man?
Thank you, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Before we get into this, you need to go and check out Mike Clegg's channel because there's a brilliant hour-long episode where Quinny goes in depth on all sorts of stuff. So this one is a cheeky little one. It's not going to be an hour long, but thanks to Quinny for joining us.
My
so,
pleasure.
You've been to see Ole Gunnar Solskjaer this week.
Mm-hmm.
How is it?
Ole is in good spirit. Him and Mick and Mike Harrigan and Kieran and the lads look... They were enjoying themselves, obviously, in training. The place is buzzing, and that family feeling is there again. And thanks to Ollie for bringing that back, because we've been missing that since the boss retired. And I'm looking forward to this week against Fulham. But no, Ollie's in good spirit, and can't wait to look forward to the game now over the weekend.
So you said you wanted to just go pop by because you've not seen him since he's come back, and it's made the club feel like it did under Sir Alex by the fact that any old players and that can just go and drop by and go and speak to everybody.
I mean, that's the kind of character Ollie was and still is, and so down to earth. It's amazing when you meet Ollie. It's strange. He's the manager of Manchester United, and Ollie just takes it in his stride. He's so calm about it and so humble about it, and he just created that environment again where that was Alex created, where players, you knew you had to come in, you work hard, you express yourself, you enjoy yourself most of all because you had the best club in the world, and you're playing for Manchester United. Enough said there. And Ollie, when I watched the lads training yesterday, they're just having fun. All these good players, they're having fun, they're a team, and when you walk around the Aeon Training Centre, everyone in the canteen and smiling again, and that welcoming feeling is there again, and it's just brilliant. And that's what we've missed for so many years, and thanks to Ole and Mick and like I said, Kieran and Mike Carrick for bringing that back. But obviously Ole is the main figure, and like I said, now I go to games excited again, and because I know we're going to play attacking football. We got the players, we've got Ollie brought back that mentality again about playing attacking football. Of course, hard work and defensive work, it's a given. That was also Manchester United as a given. But you had to make sure you do your part, which is playing attacking football, excite the fans again. And you look at the results the last couple of weeks, it's been absolutely brilliant.
It almost seems too easy to have gone down the way it's gone down, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like it's been any sort of hardship for him. He just seems to have breezed into the place. Lifted the mood, lightened the mood, allowed everyone to just sort of just get this freedom about how they're going down with everything, and he's made us all, like you said, enjoy it.
Yep.
Most importantly, the players look like they're enjoying it. Marcus Rashford is trying things on a pitch that I don't think he does in training. He's absolutely going for it.
You've got someone like an Ollie there now that understands the culture of the club. He's been there. He understands what is required to be a Manchester United player. And when Ole obviously spent so many years at United and under Sir Alex, so he knew what is required of a Manchester United player, and probably just told the players what he was told by Sir Alex.
Isn't it mad it's that easy? It clearly isn't that easy, but it looks almost like he's done it easily.
Well, we mustn't forget that Ole's been a student of the game or been a manager for the last 10 years, so he also brings his own experience, but at the same time, the values of Manchester United has always been there, and he's obviously remembered that. The good thing is he brought Mick feeling with him as well.
Yeah. How important is he?
Oh my goodness, Mick.
Because you came at the same time that Mick was promoted to the assistant boss in the first team, so how important? What is he doing? Because Mick, this is what we never find out.
Mick has got such a calm nature where he helps on the tactical side. He's the link between the manager and the players. So when anything needs to be, obviously the boss is the final word, but Mix organize things in a quiet way that you don't see, and speaks to players individually and just calm things. His nature is a calm nature. Everything that goes crazy around, you look at Mick, calm, and you need that figure, you need that experience. And when making decisions, Ollie can always depend on Mick and get his advice. And for me, it's great to have Mick there, and you can see the difference in the players now, the way they behave and the way they train. And and the results, and you can see the evidence on the football pitch. They look so happy. Like I said, Paul Pogba, Rashford, Jesse, and Alexis Sanchez, Lukaku, and I think, I don't know what Ole said to them, but I'm just assuming that he probably just reminded them, look, you're playing for the best club in the world, you're good players, go and express yourself. Make sure you work hard, because that's really that's a given at Manchester United. And play as a team. Obviously, Ole's got a good understanding of the game tactically, and this is how he wants you to play. But playing attacking football, because that's the main thing. That's why we go to Old Trafford. That's why we enjoy watching the team. Like when Marcus gets the ball, he's running at people. What's his name? I forget. His name will come to me now. Wow, our winger, a French.
Anthony Marshall.
Anthony Marshall. Excuse me, Anthony Marshall. Just went blank. I love watching Anthony Marshall because that's the Manchester United kind of player. Gets the ball, run it around the defenders.
And the close control is just naughty.
This is
inexplicable.
It was confusing for me because the last couple of months when I watched them, and I used to see the team come out and they were defensive. I was like, no, this is not Manchester United. We come out and attack. The other team are normally defensive. And Ole just brought that back, and it's absolutely brilliant. And long, please may that continue, please God. So,
we fucking riot. How about that?
We want Ole to stay. I want Ole to stay personally. And he's the right man for the job because he understands the culture. He's got the great nature about himself. And he's, for me, a Manchester United manager.
I understand the culture, you understand the culture, but the guy's gone out there and won 9 in 10 games. That's not just understanding the culture, but going proving that you're good enough for the job. How can you give it to somebody else after this? I don't think you can.
It will be beyond me to think of anything. I can't think of any other manager now to come in. Before, I have to say, I was thinking about other managers, but since Ole's come in, and whoever's been behind it, I kind of have a feeling it was behind us. And but it's absolutely it's a masterstroke to bring Ole in because it fits in everything. Everything Ole does is Manchester United, and you can see now the players responding to it, and with him and Mick and Mike Carrick and Kieran, it's just absolutely brilliant. And we've got another big game coming up, another test. It's great. It's another challenge. But this is what happens when you play for Manchester United.
But I feel up for this now. I can't wait for Tuesday night. Old Trafford, lights on, Champions League music. I'm excited already. I can't wait. When we made the draw, I did the draw for Full Time Devils, and I was like, here's the team who gets the honour of knocking United out of the cup this year.
Yeah,
I don't feel like that anymore.
But
I think we're beating them.
I think we all were in that same position, and it was hard for me because I always tried to stay positive, and in the last few months when things were going, the lads weren't playing the football that I know they were capable of. But now going to games, I have that old feeling again. It's like, great, there's another challenge. We're playing PSG, but we haven't forget, we've got Fulham first. That's the first one we get out of with. But this is why you play for Manchester United. You want to play the best teams, and they come with their best players, they come with their style of play. We're Manchester United, and no, not in an arrogant way, in a disrespectful way, but this is how the club's been run for so many years, and all we have to do is continue that same mentality, character, style of play, and go and take it to them and see what happens.
Righty, cheers for that. Right, we have got some questions from you guys on Patreon. If you want to know more about the Patreon group, hit the link in the description below and you get all the extra benefits like this. So we have got some questions for you guys. Connor's asked, how difficult was it growing up in South Africa and moving at such a young age to Spain?
It was difficult in terms of the crime, the drugs and that stuff. So not that I was involved in it, just you can get caught up in that because where I grew up, that was happening on a normal basis. For example, we lived in a flat called Q Town, and we were right at the top on the 7th floor. So as soon as I opened my door to come downstairs, there were guys smoking on our stairs, drugs. So that was the first thing I saw in the morning before I got to school. So already I get to school, I'm very happy, and teachers to wonder why I'm so happy because I've just been walking through. No, I'm just joking, but that's the first thing I saw. So I was high most of the time in class. They were wondering why he's so happy. Just joking. But that's the first thing I saw, and then you see gang fights and you see shooting, and that part, it was hard because no human being should grow up in that environment. But the other part was, I love football and I played football every single day. So my focus was when I came from school, where's the next game?
You got an academy over then?
I've got an academy here in Manchester called the Clinton Fortune Academy.
Do you have one over there as well?
I had a football club called FC Fortune a couple of years ago, and I had to stop it because they weren't running it. I wasn't there. I was still playing at United and it wasn't running the way I wanted to. So I started my academy over here called the Clinton Fortune Football Academy, and it's from 5 to 13. So that's something I love doing because someone found me as a kid and coached me. So I just want to coach the kids and help them with their skills and so they can get better.
Awesome. This is from Andy Rogers, says, how difficult was it adjusting to the Premier League and playing for a club like United?
Physically, it's a big change because I came from Spain and coming to Manchester United after they won the treble.
Athletic Madrid's not a small team, though.
Sorry?
Athletic Madrid's not a small
team. No, but it's not Manchester United. It's a big step. They're probably the third biggest team in Spain after Real Madrid and after Barcelona and Real Madrid. But coming to United in the time I arrived, coming to United at any time is a difficult, not especially after Liverpool and everything in world football.
Yeah, you joined in the summer of 99.
Yeah. I'm not going to get in this team. Roy, can you just let me know? But look, I was never ever going to say no if I have the opportunity to come to United. It's a no-brainer. It's like you just go. And I didn't care where I played as long as I played for Manchester United and ended up playing left back, left midfield, centre midfield. I didn't care. I just wanted to be on that pitch with my teammates and help them win every single game I can, and it was the best, beyond my wildest dreams, best moments ever in my life.
What's your favourite message from Ryan? What is your favourite memory from your time at United?
What's my favourite message from?
Memory.
Memory from?
Time at United.
Time at United. First of all, my debut, when I made my debut, scored my debut, that's special enough, but to have my mum and dad there, because when I left in 91, they knew I played football. They never see me play football.
Really?
So this is the first time they see me live.
Was it United?
At United.
Wow.
So this is beyond crazy. And for me, it makes it even more special because my dad took me to the first movie. I was 5 years old. It's called a movie called Escape the Victory. And
they had
Pelé, Bobby Moore, Ozzy Ardiles, and all these people and players in there. And after the movie, my dad just, I remember as a 5 year old kid, he mentioned someone's name, and the name he mentioned was George Best. Now, my dad was a diehard United fan in South Africa. I didn't know, I was a kid, I was like, George Best, okay, whatever, yeah. So for me to end up playing for Manchester United so many years later and to have my parents there, yeah.
That's awesome.
Come on.
Did you ever personally experience the hairdryer treatment from Alex?
That's why my hair's still short. Oh my goodness, I had it.
What'd you do?
You just take it. You don't say anything back to the boss, and you just make sure whatever the boss just said to you there, when you get an opportunity to play again or go out the second half, you do your job properly.
Then you got it at half time?
Yeah.
What for?
Jumping out of the tackle, or the first, I think I just arrived from Spain and I never did that after that again. And when you misplace a pass or not doing, the boss knew the level that was required at Manchester United, and once you're not reaching that level, he let you know. So yeah, it was didn't happen very often, but yeah, once the boss let you know, you made sure you never do that again.
Arshin's got, what was your favourite country to travel to, visit in Asia?
In Asia? Wow.
Hyper specific there, mate.
Where
did you win the World Club Cup or the Intercontinental Cup? Was that in Tokyo?
That was in Tokyo. That was just, I arrived and it was a bit weird because I think I was on the bench for that game, and it was just an amazing experience because I just came from Atletico Madrid and yeah, I'm flying to Tokyo with United playing for the World Club Champion. It's like, come on, what's going on? So in Asia, that probably have to be Singapore?
Nice.
Because it's so clean. And I mean, small, but I love Malaysia because Malaysia, we have a big Malayan community in Cape Town, so the food is amazing over there. Thailand is amazing as well. The food, oh my God, the people, unbelievable over there. So there's a few places. Yeah.
From Stu, who was your favourite team to play against? Was there a team you didn't like playing against?
Favorite team to play against, I think it was probably Arsenal because at that time when we were playing,
the rivalry
was so big and competition was amazing, and they had great players, we had great players, and you knew when you play them, everything was on the line. And obviously Keeney saw that with Patrick Vieira at Highbury. That was a
Was you in that game?
I was on the bench in that game. It was just like, what has happened there? And he's just like, wow. And
that was one of my favourite ever Premier League games. Yeah. Just as a pure, I mean, not even, I'm not neutral, but I can imagine as a neutral, it was just amazing because it was back and forward, it was end to end, and it was unbelievable.
It was brilliant. Arsenal, and of course I forgot, not that I forgot, but Liverpool, because there's nothing better than. And winning at Anfield, oh, it's the best feeling ever.
Jack says, what was Sir Alex like? How did he manage you? Was he hard on you, or did he put an arm around your shoulder?
The boss was hard, but he put an arm around his shoulder in the right time. He knew what to say in the right moments, and that's probably what would make him such a great manager, his man management. He knew how to deal with young players when the young players were coming through, like Ronaldo and Rooney. He knew how to treat them, and the likes of his senior players, Dwight Yorkini and his players, but amazing man management. The boss was amazing the hour before the game, his team talk. It was all about Manchester United. It was all about what we need to do. Never, hardly focus on the opposition. If he did say anything about the opposition, he would probably be taking a piss out of them or something, but it was always about what we need to do, and you felt like you want to run through a brick wall for him. Absolutely brilliant, yeah.
JD says, what role do you see the club play in the development of talent overseas, specifically within Africa?
That's a great question. I'm sure they've got scouts all over the world, and especially in Africa as well. I would like to see more African players, especially from my country, South Africa, to come and play for United in the future. But it's also, it takes a lot of hard work, because to come and play for United, it's a high level, and you need to have the right mentality. Obviously talent is important, but it's the mentality as well, to deal with the pressure of having to win every single game, and dealing with now in terms of social media, the fame and all that comes with it, because whatever you do at Manchester United, it's all over.
Can you even imagine what it'd be like?
Back then it would have been an absolute, I can't imagine, like now it's crazy, but the likes of David, I'm just trying to imagine David Beckham. It would have been an absolute nightmare, and I'm glad. Well, I'm very fortunate now that this come at this time, because the boss, first of all, wouldn't allowed it.
Rio was the one that sort of broke the mold, then, wasn't he, and got himself on sweat.
Yeah,
really
the boss, I don't think, would have allowed it then, and because it was all about football. It was all about making sure you do your business on the football pitch, and then you go home quietly. Like the best example was Scholesy. Scholesy was an absolute genius on the football pitch, and you hardly heard years Scholesy leave the training ground. He would disappear after training. Honestly, we would look in the locker, like, where is he? And you see him tomorrow morning, first thing he used to run out and bust his Scholesy. First thing he did, ping the ball, boom, straight to the goals. Never had an injury, a hamstring problem. And you doing all your stretches, your yoga and everything, Scholesy just goes, boom. Brilliant.
Scholesy, this is going out on Sunday, but he's literally just been cleared to be the older manager.
It's been linked with
it for years. Yeah. Finally happened.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to be a good manager?
They are very lucky and fortunate to have Scholesy. I've done a couple of sessions when I was doing my A license, and I saw Scholesy, and he was coaching the kids, and brilliant. Just his nature, and he's a winner. Like we've seen all his career, and I'm sure if Scholesy goes into, he wouldn't go into there knowing that he can't win. He will go in there knowing he's going to do everything in his power to create a successful Oldham team. And I think the sky's the limit for Scholesy, because I feel sorry for his players, because imagine he joins in training session, he's probably still going to be the best player. And if he wants to demonstrate something.
You often see that amazing players go into management and don't make the greatest of managers, and often cited as the reason for that is that they get frustrated when the players can't live up to their standards, what they had as a footballer. He's gone into a League Two side.
Yeah.
Is that going to likely be an issue, do you think, with Scholes?
I would like to think Scholes has got now the understanding and the patience, because it's impossible for him to think, looking at from outside now, it's impossible for him to go in there expecting players to be at the level ever at that he was, or creating a level that...
Hopefully the level he might be at now.
Exactly. So I think it's probably going there with an open mind is causes humility is unbelievable. So I think he'll go down there and work as much as he can with the group of players he's got. I'm sure he's going to get a very good assistant with him. That's going to help him.
Who do you reckon he's going for? Who do you reckon gets that call?
I don't know. There's so many he can use. I mean, he's worked with Rennie as well.
That's not a bad shout.
It's a good shout because Rennie obviously understands the culture of United, and Joyce, Warren Joyce. There's a few managers, but I'm sure Scholes would have done his homework to make sure when he goes in there, he obviously he's the manager, but he needs that amazing assistant coach that's preparing his team and using all these ideas. Because if I'm a chairman of the club and I bring in Scholes, I want to make sure they get as much information as possible what runs through his mind, because he sees the pitch 3 minutes or 5 minutes before everyone else. So we're just catching up. So it's a great move for him, and I wish him everything of the best. And like I said, he was a genius as a player, and imagine he can put all that the ideas that he has in his head over to his players. Be amazing.
I heard when you were talking to Mike that you said you wanted to complete your coaching badges and give you a full pro license.
Yeah.
Are we going to see you on the sideline in a suit one day?
That's my plan. Like I said, I've had a taste at under Warren Joyce and working with the under-21s and then with Ole at Cardiff, and I really enjoyed it, and I just love football. So if I can get my coaching, well, that's why I'm going to get my coaching badges. Obviously, the dream is to work at United, but I've got to go. If I have to go anywhere else and learn my trade and coach every day and become a better coach and a manager, that's what I'm willing to do. But
got goals his number?
I'm not sure if I'm at that level yet to go in there. Of course, if Scholes you called, you go. But I'm not sure if I'm the right man. There's many other good coaches out there, but of course, if Scholes he calls.
Jack's got another question. It says, you was obviously in the same team as Ollie for a good few years. Was there anything in him as a player where you was like, one day he's going to be a manager?
You don't think that when you're playing. You just think winning the game in training, because you want to win every single day. And then you think about winning the game on a Saturday or Sunday or during the week. So you just think about winning and playing football and competing. But you always always saw Ole practicing, doing extra in terms of his finishing. Absolutely a machine. He was ruthless in front of goal. Honestly, it was. I don't know how many amount of goals Ole scored when defenders used to close him down and kick it or shoot through his legs, and we always just say, "Ah, it's a fluke." He actually practiced that, so it was just. It was amazing.
Alex Stepney told me once about George Best. We had Alex Stepney in, and he said on a. They all went to go and watch, who was they playing? Liverpool. Mm-hmm. They went and watched Liverpool 1 week, they didn't have a game. And George Best noticed something that the Liverpool goalkeeper did at the time. So on the Friday in training, he grabs Paddy Crerant and he goes, right, when the defensive line steps up on you, dink a ball over the top, I'm going to go one-on-one with the keeper. And he grabs Alex, he goes, right, just do what you'd normally do. So Alex comes out, and he had this weird technique that they would do. I don't think the goalkeepers do it anymore, where they would rush out and almost jump at the feet of the player. Mm. You could probably just take the player out back then, I'm imagining. And he said, as I'm about to jump, George plays it off my shin, like 1-2s it to himself, and then passes it in the goal where I'm not there. And I was like, he goes, what do you think of that? And he was like, a bit confused, and he goes, the next day at Liverpool, he goes... This move happens. Paddy Pink dinks it over the top. He goes one on one with the goalkeeper. He plays it off the goalkeeper and he passes it into the net. Now, if you hadn't known that he'd have done that on the Friday, you'd have gone, "That was a bit of a fluke, weren't you?" But George Best was training for that shit.
Genius. And you look at the football pitch they were playing on then.
Oh, God, yeah, you couldn't guarantee a bounce coming back off ridiculous. That. Not like the carpet now.
And that's when people, like, I speak to some ex players now and I say, like, Messi's amazing and this one's amazing. But when I hear and I see the clips of George Best and I see the football pitch they played on, and when you speak to ex-players, he was frightening, like scary, the level of the balance, the skill. And now, in every condition, the pitch will always be fine at Old Trafford and most pitches around.
Protection from the referees, allowed to dribble.
So if he was playing now, it would have been embarrassing to some people. But so people say you can't compare generations. No, I can. He was just unbelievable. And like I said, I love Pelé, so I would put him there next to Pelé. And even Pelé said George Best was amazing. So if Pelé says that, in my opinion, Pelé is the greatest ever. So I'm not going to argue with
anyone. I think this is the last question we've got with you. So it's from Nathan. He says, with AFCON moving to European summer, do you feel as though there will be an increase in club scouting of African talent?
This is the best thing AFCON could have done. I would have loved that to happen when I was playing, because the year I signed for United, I had to leave. Just got into the team, starting to play well, had to go to African Nations Cup.
Fergie actually come out and said, didn't he, we're not going to sign players from Africa.
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. And that's where you find the conflict between country and club. Because the player always suffers, because you want to play for your club because that pays your wages and your bread and butter. At the same time, it's an honour to play for your country. So when you say to your country, look, I just got into United team. You've got like the best team in the world here. I've really done my best to get in the team. I'm playing regularly. And then I have to leave. And when I leave, of course, I'll get everything for my country, my heart and everything. But then I come back and I have to struggle to get in the team. But they don't understand that. So they always think the players, and then in my situation, the media back home portrays you like you're turning your back on the country. Never, ever would I turn my back on my country. I love South Africa. I give everything for the country. Every competition, I came through the ranks, played under 23s, played in the Olympics, played all the African Nations Cup games, and it showed that, of course, I want to be there, but at the same time, is that once in a lifetime opportunity to get to play for Manchester United, there's got to be understanding. So when they moved the AFCON near the end of the season, it will open so many doors for African players. You'll see more African players coming to Europe, and it's the best thing AFCON. So to AFCON, bravo.
Isn't it going to be a little bit hot in Africa in summer?
No, because when it's your summer over here, it's winter back home for us.
Even in Northern Africa?
In Northern, some African countries, it's still hot, ridiculous hot. But believe me, you'll find a way to get through. I mean, when is the next World Cup in Qatar?
Yeah. We're going to see how hot that is.
That's going to be hot. But look, when you're playing football, you'll find a way. It's what you love doing. But just the timing of it, it will help so many players. And that conflict between club and country. And you definitely will see more players in Europe now, African players.
Awesome. Right. Thank you guys on Patreon that have sent in your questions. Like I said, if you want to find out more about that, hit the link in the description. Quinny, thank you very much.
This is awesome. Pleasure. Thank you.
Nice to speak to you. Subscribe if you're new. Hit the like and get your comments and queries and all that sort of stuff in the comments below. Laters. Beautiful.